broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places that other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. One of these days, they'll catch up with us. But until such time,
we're on our own. Right at a point. We're way out on the point.
We're way out on the point. They will. By the way, Thursday we will be at the NAB. When I say we, me and the many problems that I have. You know, I'm going to start defining we. Because there is a tendency for those of us in the entertainment business, every time we speak of ourselves, we put it in the plural. Because it sounds less conceited, I guess, egotistical. But I think there needs to be a better, a better reason. I'm now going to say, well, I refer to myself in the plural because it's me and all of life's, just the burdens of life, you know.
Yeah, but people are going to think you're complaining about everything.
Well, I'm not going to be complaining. I'll just say it's me and my, you know.
Your long-suffering life.
Nah, screw that. Maybe I shouldn't. I'll say it's me and all of the people that I've invented, like you guys. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-7445. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, WWRL in New York. And, of course, our...
What?
I lost my affiliate list now. WWKB in Buffalo. Aha, there's one. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Larry Grover. We're going to be talking tonight about the debate that just took place this evening. If you saw the Tea Party debate on CNN, I thought it was very interesting. Now, again, regardless of your political persuasion, whether you're a liberal, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a liberal or a conservative, I should say, you have to watch these debates. You have to know what people are about. You can't sit and say, well, I'm not going to watch this because I am a Democrat, or I'm not going to watch this because I'm a Republican. That's not responsible citizenship, guys. So bring in Larry Grover on the line. Larry, you watched from your home in Culver City this evening, and you are the chairman of the Conservatives of Kern County. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you for having me on.
So you watched where? Just at home, like most Americans?
Yeah, I'm here. I live in Culver City, not too far from where I work at the Culver City Print. And while I while I'm very much a stay-at-home kind of guy, I live with my mother, and this has been the status quo for me since Marcy and the girls left. But I still am, while I'm a pretty much stay-at-home guy and trying to balance the interests that I have politically with other things in life, I have to watch these, and I think you hit it right on the head, Phil. I have to watch these debates because they are important. They're important for all of us in many ways. They're important because you may be looking at the next president of the United States in any one of these individuals, whether you like it or not, whether you like any of them or not. And so I also agree with what you said about having to watch these debates, even if they're Democrats. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. But I'm certainly always interested in watching any and all of these individuals, political people, to see if they surprise me, you know?
Do you ever see the possible time when you as a conservative might be watching a bunch of Democrats debating, and you might say, wow, you know, I really like that guy?
Well, it happened almost for me when Clinton was running. I was so put out, as so many Americans were at that time, with the recession that we that lived through under George G.W. Bush, the father.
Right after Reagan.
Yeah, right after Reagan and during the Gulf War, and I found myself wanting to vote for Clinton, and I thought that a lot of things he said. But as a Republican, ultimately it was the economic policies of Democrats that always puts me off, and so naturally I wasn't interested in that at all.
Are you having a group over, or?
No, where we are, we're at one of the Fresh Choice restaurants. I took Mother to dinner, so we're having a little bit of dinner.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your dinner.
No, I knew that we were going to do the interview tonight, so I'm just telling you that that's where we are right now.
We're talking about Larry Grover, by the way. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And, if you guys want to weigh in on some of the things we're going to be talking about this evening, as well as your impressions of the debate this evening, you can. 877-876-PHIL. But let's give people something to chew on here. I'm going to give you an idea, of what I thought, and maybe you can respond.
Go ahead, yeah.
First of all, I saw Ron Paul, I think, very badly misstep. And when he said that he was buying into the rationale given by Al-Qaeda for their attack on September the 11th, when he actually believed that what these psychopaths were most concerned with was Israel and was with the Palestinians and with American troops, I was very troubled by that, because whether or not I like Ron Paul, I was considered to be a very intelligent man, you know?
Yeah.
And for him to say that was bizarre.
Well, you know what? Ron Paul is a marginal figure, and I don't think that Ron Paul is... People are interested in Ron Paul for his foreign policy expertise. I don't really believe he has great foreign policy expertise. But what he does have and what he does bring to every presidential campaign that he's in, and, you know, Ron Paul will go down in history as the perennial candidate who sort of keeps everybody honest. And I think he does keep everybody. And let's face it, that's why Ron Paul runs for president. It isn't because he really believes he's going to be elected president. It's because I think he believes he is a guy that keeps things on. I'm looking at your video cast right now, Phil, and it looks like there's an invisible, you know, this is going to sound funny. You have an invisible headphones?
What do you mean invisible?
Well, there's a part of them that's invisible.
Oh, it's the green screen. It must be a green part of the, that is very interesting. Yeah, it does look invisible. It's actually the metal band there that gets washed away in the background. All right, so very good. We're talking with Larry Grover. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and we're discussing with him the debate tonight. So, yeah, Ron Paul, getting on with Ron Paul, he is a guy that I agree with you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? In other words, he's not going to get elected president. I don't even think he thinks he's going to get elected president. But I think that Ron Paul does a great service, and the service is he's there to express certain ideas that he feels need to be expressed. I think Newt Gingrich, carries himself very well. In a lot of ways, Phil, I'm grateful that Newt Gingrich is running, because if I'm troubled by anything, it's the fact that as I was extremely excited about watching the debate tonight, and I sat down, Mother was with me, and we had we had our TV trays out to watch, and I was looking forward to the debate, because I'm very much a Rick Perry fan. And
not Romney, huh?
No, I was tending more toward Rick Perry, because I think he's a little tougher as a conservative, and I think he's a little bit more in line with the Tea Party, which we feel that conservatives of Kern County are. But I was troubled, and we sat down, and I was looking forward to it, and we listened to the debate. And I found myself gradually, Phil, as I was watching this debate, I found myself gradually getting very, I don't know how to put it, I was feeling very despondent. I was feeling as if, I was really excited, and suddenly what came to be wasn't what I expected.
From the debate?
Primarily from Perry and Romney. And I was getting very, in a lot of ways, I was getting very depressed. And even my mother, she saw this. Mother, you could come on and comment on that.
He was experiencing a little bit, Phil.
Depressed, huh?
A little bit.
I wondered why. I wondered why I was feeling this way, and I realized what it was and what it is that's going to stop the Republican Party this year. Perry and Romney are not representative of the kind of men that are going to trudge through the snow or trudge through the heat or walk or ride a skateboard or, you know, drive their car, whatever they're going to do to vote for. They don't represent. They're not representative.
Well, they're both accomplished men, you know.
I don't mean, were you talking about Romney being in business?
Well, either one. I mean, Romney was a governor. Romney's a businessman. Perry, the same way.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that the two men are not, they don't, it's not me that I see there. I'm seeing two guys that obviously think, and justifiably so, I guess, that they're very attractive, okay, let's say, to women. They both, it appears to me that they both know they're attractive to women. Certainly Perry has the look on his face that he can attract, you know, any woman he wants, and Mitt Romney is the same way. And here's what I...
What? Where do you get... I mean, I don't see that.
I see it. I think any guy, a lot of men who know what I'm talking about, you know, they recognize that what I'm saying is true. And that is a turnoff, I think, to a lot of male voters. And so at the end of the day...
So you're telling me that Romney and Perry are putting off male conservative voters. Give it to me in a nutshell. Why?
Well, I think because they both are projecting the image of two guys that have the smug quality of a man who knows, you know, women are gonna they can have any woman they want. And
you see them projecting that?
Oh, absolutely, of course. And
well, here's me, and I'm not the best looking guy. Are you saying that you are resentful of that because they're not representative? That's what you said.
Yes, that's right.
So does that mean they're handsome and you're not, or?
Well, I think it means that they're handsome and you're not. You know, I mean, like, come on, Phil. You know, I've seen you, and that.
No, I don't claim to be handsome.
All right. Well, then you understand that this can be a real turnoff to a male voting base when you're walking around and every woman in the room is trailing after you. You see, I don't want to make this something that is going to slow down their campaign. I don't think it's anything that I want to indict them for. It's going to be hard for me to vote for them.
And you don't want to vote for Perry and Romney, though, not because of political, philosophical or political disagreement, you see?
No, well, yes, it is political and philosophical. I'll tell you why. Because you cannot get anything done if you don't have the support of voters. You're not going to get elected. I'm not saying that they are not sincere men. I'm saying what I don't like is that while they're doing the job in Washington, while they're doing the job in the state capitals, while they're doing whatever they're doing, they're also, you know, women are looking at them, and they know it.
But what is the problem with that?
Well, I don't think it's anything you... Phil, I think you know what I'm talking about, and I think your listeners do. There is it's very off-putting to support a guy who says, hey, thanks a lot, and would you... Basically, what they're saying is, or the feeling you get is, would you hold my jacket, or would you go get me a drink while I hit on this woman here?
And, well, I mean, that's a little bit of a throwback kind of a mentality, isn't it? A little bit of a juvenile mentality.
Well, no, I don't think it's juvenile. I think it's very old brain, as they say, and I think it's very basic, and it's going to hurt these guys. And I don't want to be a party to supporting two guys that are going to become president and walk around like they're the hottest thing going. I think it just hurts the country. That
all right, hold the line here. Larry Grover with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Is there a problem with Rick Perry and Mitt Romney? Is there a problem with either one of them or both of being aware of the fact that they're handsome and that that obviously would put off men who are not as good looking, number one, and it may also mean that they are attractive to women? Is this a problem with you? We'll get back and talk more with Larry Grover tonight from Conservatives of Kern County. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County as we talk about tonight's debate. It was billed as a Tea Party debate, Larry, so it was sponsored by the Tea Party, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the individuals there are going to be Tea Party friendly, right?
That's not really what I'm talking about. If you were to ask me who's the most Tea Party-friendly candidate, you're going to get a lot of people saying probably...
Ron Paul?
Probably Ron Paul, but not necessarily the only one. I mean, I think that Rick Perry is the man, and that's going to be a tough one because, again, Rick Perry is battling uphill. He's got that look, and I wish he hadn't done it. I watched it tonight, and I felt like I was... I was eating dinner with Mother, and I remember lifting a piece of steak almost to my lips, and then I saw him flash that smile, and he gave that kind of that head move, that as if to say, you know, the collar's a little tight, but I'm the coolest guy in the room. And I remember I just dropped my fork on a plate, and I at that moment I didn't like him.
Well, how much of this is very personal? And
well, it's personal to any voter. When you see a guy running for president of the United States, okay, that's powerful enough. And on top of it, he's handsome. Where does that leave me? Where does that leave most male voters? It leaves you thinking that you're nothing. If you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I remember, of course, I was a child, but I remember Jack Kennedy as president. He was a handsome guy, and I don't know that hung up a whole lot of people. Here is Billy in Greenville, North Carolina. Billy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm just wondering what looks have to do with politics. You know, it should be about the policies that they're going to bring to working Americans like myself, taxpayers like myself, and what direction they're going to carry this country in.
Well, I can tell you, Billy, I think that you're making a very good point. But let me ask you, and I would ask you to be honest with me, don't you resent a little bit these guys standing up there like they are, you know, like they're going to score every woman in the room? Doesn't that bother you? Does it make it difficult for you to identify with them?
No, I honestly will look past that. To me, you know, if you've got what it takes to get in and get America back on track, get people back to work, and you've got a plan to do that, that's my main focus when I go to the voting polls to vote. It's definitely not about how pretty they are, how ugly they are. It's just, have you got what it takes to get the job done, to get these people back to work and get people in better shape? I mean, America's hurting right now. I don't think looks have anything to do with the policies that somebody's going to bring to the table.
Let me ask Larry, I want to ask Billy a question. Billy, this is Phil. Can you tell me who it is that right now, early, and I know it's early, but who would you favor right now?
No, please don't ask him that question, please. And I'll tell you why, Billy. I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt Phil. I don't think you should ask him that question. And
why?
Because I think the gentleman needs to let the Rick Perry-Romney effect settle in. I think he's going to be resentful eventually that these guys think they're the hottest guy. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. I think if I ask this man, Billy, who he wants to vote for, he's giving me an early assessment. He may change his mind.
But he's going to say Romney or he's going to say Perry. You know he is.
I have to go with Perry. I have to go with Perry.
See what I'm saying?
What I've seen so far. But, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
It's so early in the game. I mean, somebody may bring something better to the table, better than what he's putting out. I mean, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, but when it actually makes sense, it settles in, then that's where you're going to make your vote at.
I thought, you know what I thought was a good point tonight? I thought what Romney made he scored a little bit of a point when he said, you know, you're right, Governor, you did increase jobs. Ann Richards increased them 2%, George Bush increased them 3%, and you increased them 1%. You know,
that was a cheap shot from one pretty boy to another. But I'm just saying to Billy, don't you feel like you're selling out supporting some guy that would likely sleep with your wife?
What does that mean?
No, I'm not saying that he would.
Well, you said would likely sleep with his wife.
I meant, how do I say this?
I'm secure enough in my relationship with my wife that I don't think a pretty boy could walk along right
do
now.
Do you, let me ask you, do you think your wife would be attracted or would want to sleep with him as well?
No, that's not a question to answer. That's not a question to answer.
I think it's very important.
Well, no, it's not. I don't want Billy to answer. Thank you very much, sir, for your call, though. I appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
But I thought it was very disingenuous for you to hang up on that. You know, let me finish my question because...
I thought it was a little insulting.
Well, I'm not trying to insult the man. What I'm trying to say, Phil...
When you ask the guy right out, you know, do you think that your wife would sleep with your wife?
No. I meant to say... Do you feel secure, and I would ask this question of any man in your audience tonight, do you feel secure supporting Rick Perry knowing that your wife would be attracted to him? That's my question.
Why would you make that overall assumption, though, you see?
Well, look, Phil, I know that you are a little... little bit of a libertarian on some issues, and some issues you're a liberal. I don't know that you really understand the dynamics of conservative politics. What I'm trying to communicate here tonight to your listeners and to other conservatives is that Perry and Romney are attractive on paper, but they both carry themselves with this air that if I've got to sleep with your wife, I guess, and I have no choice, and she's throwing herself at me, I will. And
I don't see that at all. We'll be back, 877-876-PHIL, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Who do you support?
Phil Hendry.
You hung up again.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County at the Fresh Choice in Culver City. It's a restaurant there, right, Larry?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. We can hear it in the background.
Well, it's a buffet style. One of the things that's difficult, it's a buffet style restaurant.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
One of the things that's difficult is I'm on here talking about Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. I'm a conservative, they're conservatives, and yet I find myself in a very uncomfortable position of I can't throw my support behind them 100% because I sense in them this idea that they think they're hot, you know? And
when you say hot, for people who are just joining us, you mean you sense in them they think they're good looking.
They don't. Well, I don't know how they think of themselves. Yeah, but they think that they're hot looking, yeah. Here's why I think it's dangerous. It's dangerous because I can't relate to them as an average conservative voter, as a man. There's a lot of men just like me. And
well, is there a candidate? If we're talking about physicality, okay.
I'm not talking about physicality. I don't want it to sound as if there's something having to do with I'm physically attracted.
No, I'm not saying that, but you're saying that you can't identify with them because they're handsome?
No, it's not because they're handsome. It is because they're handsome, but it's also because they're handsome, they may also engender in a wife or a girlfriend. It's difficult to say, but I cannot... This would be something I'd love to hear from your female listeners about, even though I know that what the answer is. Women are going to be attracted to them, and they may go ahead and take a shot, given the fact that they're so powerful. And if I'm there, and I'm not married, and I don't have a girlfriend, but, you know, knock wood, hopefully someday, if I'm at the White House, and I'm meeting them, and I'm with a woman that's taken me 10 years to find a good woman, and Perry... beds are, you see what I mean, the first night?
You know, you got a whole scenario.
No, sir, I do not, Phil.
No, you got a whole paranoid scenario about what Rick Perry or Mitt Romney will do if they ever see you with a woman at the White House. And
I do not.
Yes, you do. If I go to the White House...
Well, understand something, Phil, and your listeners need to understand this, and there's a lot of guys in my shoes. My wife left with my kids some 10 years ago after I had been involved in the effort to get Clinton impeached and out of the White House. That failed. And also along with it, my marriage as well as my job. So, I have lived here with mother for a number of years. And I have been very involved in politics, finally free to pursue politics. So I have not dated and I haven't been with... I haven't had a normal, if you want to call it, I haven't had normal relations. And
well, what does that mean? Because it's starting to sound...
Starting to sound what?
It sounds weird. What do you mean by...
I haven't had normal relations with a woman. You understand what I mean?
I understand, but it sounds like you are crippled somehow.
No, I'm not crippled. I've been very busy. Now, if a conservative is elected, and I am freed up to be... with a woman, and I am invited to the White House as the result of working on behalf of that conservative, and that guy is Rick Perry, and my girlfriend looks at him after all of the work and all of the time and all of the dates and all of the effort that I put into resurrecting my personal life and my girlfriend, and he decides that I don't know how to put it.
You're saying if the President of the United States decides to go to bed with your girlfriend.
It's not just, it's Rick Perry. And
you know, I understand, Larry, but you have a mindset that Rick Perry believes that he's the hottest thing on earth, which maybe he does, and that means that he's going to be hitting on all these chicks.
No, I didn't say that. The women will be attracted to him. That's what I'm working on.
You're afraid that any woman that you choose in your life, a woman that you are going to be with, is going to be attracted to him and hit on him.
Well, I don't know how it's done, but yes, and that is what I consider to be
it sounds very paranoid, you know, and it sounds wrong, and it has nothing to do with politics. I'm going to go to a phone call, okay? And Larry, you can think about that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Dean. Go ahead, Dean. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil. I'm really enjoying your program this evening. I'm listening to this man trying to find the point of what it is he's saying, and I don't think there's any doubt that what he's saying is that he has an inferiority complex. And I don't have an inferiority complex, sir. What I have is a fear that if we elect a pretty boy, he's going to want to put that ahead of his duty as president.
Well, I don't doubt if you elect a man like Rick Perry, it could very well be, but that's got nothing to do with his looks. That has to do more with his, his personal moral philosophy. But I think it's very amusing because you have... Can I ask you what you think of Michelle Bachmann?
Can you say that again?
May I ask you what you think of Michelle Bachmann?
I think Michelle Bachmann is a capable individual.
Would you vote for her? Would you vote for her?
I would probably vote for Michelle Bachmann, yes. And can I want to say something, too.
Go ahead.
Are you voting? Do you think she's attractive?
Okay, you're trying to corner me into saying that I think that I would vote for Michelle Bachmann because I think she's beautiful. I would vote for Michelle Bachmann because she is a capable candidate. And what if she was elected president and you got invited to the White House? Would you go for it? Would I do what? Would you go for it?
I can't understand you, Dean. What are you saying?
I'm asking him, Phil, if he'd go for it if Michelle Bachmann...
Would you try to hit on her?
I would never disrespect the President of the United States in that way. Do I think she's attractive? Yes. If she were to ask me for a cup of coffee, I would...
Where does that happen in the White House?
In the kitchen. If, for instance, I was invited to spend the night in the Lincoln bedroom, I don't know how they do it, but they do have those...
Some people have spent the night, yeah.
Yeah, some people spend the night. And she's up in the middle of the night rustling around and has a cup of coffee. And she asked me to join her. I would.
Okay, and what if things got, what I'm trying to establish here is you say that the women would throw themselves at these presidents and so therefore the men shouldn't vote for them. And I'm trying to establish whether it is equally true of Michelle Bachmann.
You say that my wife should, if I were married, I'm not married.
No, but if you were, well, that's true, if you were married.
Let's say you're married, should your wife not vote for Michelle Bachmann because, and I don't...
You told me during a commercial break, Mr. Henry, you thought Michelle Bachmann was frightening looking. And
would you mind not, I can volunteer that information, okay?
Wow. Well,
I'll volunteer that information, and I don't believe I used those words at all.
You did. Yes, you did.
But, Mr. Henry, that is neither here nor there. My question is... So you're having a cup of coffee with Michelle Bachmann in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Then what?
You know, I don't like the way, then what? The way you're talking to me.
Would you answer the man's question?
If I had a cup of coffee with Michelle Bachmann in the White House kitchen, and it's the middle of the night?
That's what you were saying. You said they get up in the middle of the night.
Yes. I would have a cup of coffee with her.
Right. But would you make a move?
Okay, this is a silly conversation.
Hold on, this guy. I know where the guy's going. I know what you're trying to do, sir. And you're not gonna win. Would I make my move? Yes, I would.
And would you do it right there on the floor?
You know, you got a mind like a sewer, sir. And I forget.
I understand what you think of me, but that's not really my point. My point is, if you hit on Michelle Bachmann and she was president, would you do it on the floor of the kitchen?
The White House kitchen?
Yes. You know, I'm not even going to dignify that.
Well, that is you not having courage. And we need political courage. Now, would you do it on the floor, wouldn't you?
I don't think there's a man alive, if presented with that opportunity, that would turn that down. And
on the floor of the White House kitchen. Is that what you're trying to say?
You know, Mr. Henry, your indignance on the floor of the White House kitchen, you say it with such certitude, and you say it with such an arrogance that it almost makes me want to cry. Because I know that the men listening to me tonight don't want Rick Perry to be elected president. And
you're missing the point.
No, we've got it, Dean. Thank you for calling, okay?
Well, I didn't get a chance to finish what I was saying.
You said enough. You got me to admit that I... Yeah?
All right. Thank you very much, Dean. 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County. On the floor of the kitchen. I don't know what any of this proves.
Well, I don't either.
But you're the guy that brought up the notion that Rick Perry and Mitt Romney both are so attractive that the American woman would want to vote for them because of their looks and might even stray from their marital vows. You've got these guys being elected president and wrecking homes.
Well, I think you have to look at that, and you have to look at it hard, and you have to look at it for a long time. You've got to stare at something like that. And I mean really stare at it, and I don't know, Phil, if the American people have the guts, and I mean the real guts, to stare at Rick Perry and Mitt Romney and the men, as well as the women, and look at those two guys and ask themselves the hard questions. Are those two guys going to wreck homes? Am I attracted to them? Because I don't know.
And what does that mean?
What it means is, if you're a... I think you know what it means, and... If you're a closet case, I don't know if you're a closet case. But
if you're a closet case.
Yeah. And I think you got to look at that and say, what do I think? And that's why I can't vote for them.
All right. When we come back, I want you to give me an idea who it is you would vote for in this entire panel of Republican candidates for the presidency of the United States. And I don't know whether Michelle Bachmann's in there or not. You made a ridiculous comment there about being attracted to her and the floor of the White House kitchen, which I don't want to get into. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about Mitt Romney and Rick Perry and how handsome they are. And is that a problem? Are American women going to be attracted to them and vote for them based on that? Do they think they're really hot when they walk through a room? And what does it all mean? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. If you don't have a backstage pass to our website where you can get live streaming video of this show and the largest archive in the history of the world, the largest radio archive in the history of the world, and you don't have a backstage pass to that site, then there's something wrong in the way you're spending your entertainment dollar. Just basically wrong. So head over to philhenryshow.com and access thousands of hours of radio comedy, the greatest in the history of the world. Larry Grover joining us here tonight as we continue discussing tonight's debate. And we have focused primarily here, Larry, on, you know...
On Mitt Romney and Rick Perry. You know.
Well, and I'm wondering why.
Because you asked me about them, and I told you what I think the big problem is. Look, those two guys are the front runners, and I have to tell you what I think the problems are. That has been my job. My job is a chairman of Conservatives Kern County that I did at the expense of my family, my wife, my kids, my job, my social life, is to analyze who makes the best candidate for office for these various offices. Now, Rick Perry and Newt Romney or not Newt Romney. By the way, I want to talk to you about Newt Gingrich, because I believe him to be the best candidate.
And okay, that's a good place to start, because we've been talking about... Rick Perry and Mitt Romney.
Rick Perry and Newt Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney and Rick Perry is who we were talking about.
Yeah, I apologize, Phil. It's Newt Gingrich. He's the guy that I would support.
All right, now let's hold on for just a second, because tonight we had Rick Santorum. We had Herman Cain, who I find him to be very entertaining. I think when I say entertaining, what I mean is he's a man who has a wonderful way of communicating and very definite about his points, his economic points.
Herman Cain is wonderful, but I think there's going to be a backlash from the Democrats. They're going to go, we picked a black guy, and you're doing the same thing, so you're copying us. That's what they're going to say.
Well, if they want to be children about it.
Well, they are children. Look, the Democrats are nothing but one big party of children. You got to understand that. Everything they're going to say and do, they react like three-year-olds over there. That's what they do. They like to think that they're so intellectual, but they just react like three-year-olds.
All right, fine. But we had Rick Santorum, we had Herman Cain, we had Ron Paul, we had John Huntsman, we had Michelle Bachmann. So we had a number of people, and we've already established that Bachmann you like, but there was this whole scenario, and I wish we could get it off of that.
When you talk, you're the one and the guy that called who sounded to me as if he were a conservative gay, which we absolutely need in our party, there's no question, but why does he have to lay bear traps for a straight guy? I'm on his side.
And what bear traps?
He's got me on the floor of the kitchen. He's got me on the floor of the White House kitchen with Michelle Bachmann's ankles up around my...
Okay, can we watch the language now? I think I've had about enough of that.
Bill, I was...
Can we watch the way we're talking, if you don't mind?
I was answering the guy's question.
I know that, but you're going places I don't want to go, if you don't mind. Now, where are we here?
Yeah, where are we? Good point.
All right. Who are you supporting for president?
What?
Who are you supporting of these guys?
The guy that I support, Phil, is going to be a guy that reflects the working man and woman of America, a Republican who believes in individual liberty, individual initiative, the individual ability to start your own business, to work as a worker. And I heard Herman Cain. I thought he was very good with talking about workers. But there are reasons why I can't vote for him.
Yeah, because you think the Democrats are going to hone in on the fact that he's black and so you're copying us.
That's going to be their argument, yeah.
And that's so adult.
Oh, my God. How many times do I got to tell you?
Look, it's not a difficult thing to argue against a childish argument. Now tell me who you're supporting.
Can I at least say about Herman Cain?
No, you can't.
Bill, Larry is emotionally undone here.
I'm not emotionally undone.
He's emotionally undone because when you started talking to him about his dating life, when Marcy and the children left, we had to have Larry talk to someone because he tried to break into the bathroom one night when I was having a bath.
That's completely unnecessary, Mother!
I'm doing this, Larry. He tried to...
No, I know about that. I know about that.
So, you know, we had him in the hospital.
That was completely unnecessary! Even then!
Are you listening to this? Well, you're not laughing, are you?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Give me the phone, do you mind?
Don't say it nice.
Can you please give me the phone?
Nicer.
Mother, may I have the phone?
Nicer.
Mrs. Grover?
Hold on. I know what I'm doing. Nicer.
Mother, may I please have the phone?
A little bit nicer.
Oh, you old bag?
Oh, I'm an old bag, huh?
Ah! God! Oh!
Here. The phone.
Oh, yeah! Yeah!
What happened, Larry?
Hold on. Yeah, she did that one. Uh-huh. Woo! Oh, right in the Royal American.
What happened?
Well, what do you think happened? She gave me the phone.
In a very sensitive area?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hold on for a minute. you know what's going to happen, Phil, is because the muscles tense up.
I understand. Get yourself a little air. Let's take... You know what? If you're getting abused like that...
Hold on, will you? God!
Larry, your voice is not...
Hold on! Okay, the guy that I'm... Let's see, my voice...
Yeah, it... She must have hit you hard.
She did.
Do you want to take a break?
No, I do not want to take a break. There's, you know, a lot of guys from conservatives of Kern County are listening tonight, and they want to hear how well I do.
Well, so far tonight, they've heard you, let's see, talk about having Michelle Bachmann on the floor of the White House kitchen. Your mother hit you in the you-know-what with a phone, and now you're talking like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Well, guess what, Phil? That kind of thing doesn't embarrass me. Maybe it embarrasses you, but it doesn't embarrass me. I push through stuff, okay? Now, the guy that I would vote for, you there?
I'm here.
Can we finish this? The guy I would vote for is Newt Gingrich, because he looks like the average guy. He's got a couple of chins. He's got more chins than a Chinese phone book. Huh? You heard that one?
Yeah, I've heard that one about a million times.
What a pain in the ass here. Phil, I didn't aim to hit him that hard.
Phil Hendry.
More chins than a Chinese phone book. Ow!